I think it's on now. Yeah, okay, now I can hear myself. Worse than I could before. I was just joking this whole week to anybody that would listen to me and my nervous ramblings about how, you know, I was just praying with Dad being gone this week and he's letting me teach tonight that I won't split his church in the matter of one night. So have grace and mercy. This is my first time doing a full message. However, I am going to be going over stuff that I feel like Dad has already talked about. And just, if anything, it'll be a great refresher. And if you guys hear any heresy, you know, feel free to start throwing stones. That's totally fine. But something that's been going on for the past 3 weeks, and I didn't realize what part of Scripture the Lord was having me deal with until probably about 2 days ago, but it was Matthew 7:15, verse 29. Over the past 3 weeks, I've been just dealing with the Lord, shifting my perspective in a whole bunch of different ways that were extremely uncomfortable. It didn't feel good in any way, shape, or form. And it was, frankly, just rather... Can we stop this train ride, please? It's not fun. But anyways, through that, I now see the blessing of it. I see what he's been doing. I see why I've been going through what I've been going through. And it's so that I am looking more like him. That the way that I'm talking about the principles that he's laid out in Scripture are looking and being executed more like Jesus was doing during his ministry, which, again, that is the example, is to look more like Jesus. So let's quickly just look at Matthew 7:15 through 29. And I'm just going to read through the whole thing, and then we'll get into the message. So watch out for 15 through 16. Watch out for false prophets. They may look harmless on the outside, but inwardly they are destructive. You will recognize them by their fruit. You do not pick grapes from thorns, from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles. In the same way, a healthy tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you will recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father. On that day, many will say, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, and perform miracles? And I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built the house on rocks. The rain came and the floods rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it did not fall because it was on a solid foundation. But everyone who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built a house on sand. The rain came, the flood rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed because he taught with real authority, not like the religious leaders. So now we're going to get into what Dad has talked about. I'll review that a little bit. And so what Dad has talked about is that the reason this country is failing morally is because we have been failing spiritually. That's a lot to put on the church, but it's true. Culture reflects what the church tolerates. Moral collapse follows spiritual compromise. When the church prefers comfort over transformation, society shifts. That means the way that this country shifts morally is because we are not doing our part. So, why is this happening in our country? We have reshaped God into one who manages us instead of changes us. We accept salvation but resist sanctification. We want the relief without the refinement. And we've almost created this slightly parallel version of God that has vastly destructive consequences. And the God we welcome is the healer, the comforter, the provider, and the savior, while we reject the teacher, the sanctifier, the one who calls us to die daily, and the one who renews our minds. Our flesh wants healing without the responsibility of what that's going to look like and what that's going to take. So what type of a church does that kind of a believer that ignores the teaching and the sanctification create? It creates a church that operates using principle without being transformed in a way to maintain the principles we are trying to uphold. We operate in power without wisdom of the Holy Spirit to do it effectively. And when I was thinking about, like, what am I going to compare that to? The only thing that I could think of was rifles are powerful, and so are shotguns. One's accurate, one's not. When we are using the wisdom of Holy Spirit, when we are in relationship with Him and always constantly asking the question, okay, well, what do I need to do now? Okay, I'm going to walk a little bit further. Okay, what do I need to do? I'm going to walk a little bit further. It's like shooting a rifle through the sight of His perspective, accuracy, and advice as we are going. Another thing that this church does is practice healing without bringing people towards wholeness. You're taking care of the boo-boo, and you're not going near the root. And that's a huge, huge failure on the church part, because we want to be the comforters, because that's nice and that's easy, rather than bring the iron sharpens iron types of brothers and sisters that we need in the body of Christ to refine us consistently and continually. Another one, something that Dad talks about a lot, is prophecy. And so when we're living this way without the refinement, we prophesy without discernment. We get the words and we instantly assume that it's time to give them right now in that moment. And we don't stop to let the Lord maybe shift our perspective on when the timing's supposed to be. We don't ask, hey, Lord, am I supposed to give this right now? No, wait, okay, cool. Or even, the Lord's given you a word. Maybe He just wanted to share a part of His heart with you. And that was it. He just wanted you to feel what He was feeling in that moment and pray with Him in your private time and in your prayer. The last thing is that when we are going on mission, as a church functioning this way, is that we get a good plan. It's based off all the right principles, all the right things that are in Scripture, but it's not a God-good plan, which is a plan that is built to last, endure, and overcome. It's like building a skyscraper on sand, and the end result is that the church will burn out because it's following its good plan, which is lacking God's perspective and wisdom, and it will inevitably crumble, and they will lose the desire to keep pushing because it is so hard, because we did not stop to say, okay, God, this is how I'm looking at the thing that You say is good, but how do I need to apply it in this moment? So now let's shift that perspective a little bit into the God of the Bible, which is a God that changes who we are. And He is the healer, the comforter, the savior, and the provider. Those are all parts of who He is. But He is healing you so that He is then able to teach you, so that He can send you on mission. And when you're on mission and it's getting hard, He's then to come in and be the comforter. He saved you because He loves that perfect creation that was made to be in partnership with Him. He loves you, but there's a version of you that He's desperately wanting to bring out that can only be brought out if we allow Him to do the sanctification, if we allow Him to do the transformation, if we say, yes, God, I am perfectly okay being uncomfortable on this earth for the rest of my days if it means at the end of it I look more like You. Salvation begins the process. Sanctification shapes the person God created for partnership to bring His kingdom onto this earth. So with that perspective, with a God that's changing us and not just managing who we are right now and staying where we are, what sort of a Christ follower is that going to create? That's going to create a Christ follower that when He's sent on mission and it's starting to get hard and the warfare's starting, the attacks are coming, the way that he's seeing it looks like failure, but his only goal is supposed to trust God. He's going to have the endurance because the Lord has been training him to say, I know what it looks like, but I need you to trust what I told you. I know what it looks like right now, but just trust the last thing that I told you and keep going. I promise I will give you the next step when it's needed. And how many times have we seen churches fail or churches stop because they kept going, the numbers didn't come, and they said, I was supposed to have a mega church. I was supposed to preach to thousands and thousands of people because somebody gave me a prophecy outside of its time. Where is it, God? And it's that hope deferred that we then, untransformed, will crumble under, and we will not have the ability to endure and say, okay, God, I'm trusting you with what you've given me, and I'm going to stick with that. This Christ follower gains God's perspective in all things because they're doing one thing, and this is something super important that a buddy of mine was talking to me recently, and it was one question that kind of really shifted how I'm talking to God all throughout my day, which is, am I doing this? Is this really necessary? Is this really efficient? Is this really the way it needs to be done? And so I changed that question a little bit to how I'm praying. And so when I'm coming into something, or when I'm praying into a situation that maybe I'm going to be getting involved in, or maybe there's a conflict that I need to help resolve within my family or within another church group that I'm in, is that now I'm stopping and I'm asking, okay, this is my plan, but God, real quick, any notes? And I'm going to stop. And I'm going to calm down because this feels urgent, but this is way more urgent, the relationship. And I'm going to say, God, what are you saying right now? What needs to shift? What needs to change? Am I looking at this correctly? And I'm going to wait for a response. And it's so important to practice waiting on the Lord, because that's where the transformation is going to come from. Because we can follow every good thing about the Bible, every single principle, ignore the relationship, and we will fall on our face every single time, because again, that's not built to last. But as we're taking these principles and we're walking out the mission that God has given us, and we're stopping at every stop and we're saying, okay, God, anything you want to add here? Or do you want to change this completely? Am I even going the right direction? And allow him a moment to respond, because he so desperately wants to talk to you. And again, to be in partnership with you in these things. He's not a faraway God that's giving you an assignment and says, okay, now go. Well, I'm going to go get dinner. No, he's not doing that. He's saying, okay, here's the assignment. All right, I'm packed. Let's go. And we're walking together. And we're walking together. And we're walking the entire time. He's not just going to trust me to go out and do it perfectly, because, again, I haven't gone through all the training necessary to go out there and do it by myself. And if I do it by myself, then I'm doing it out of my own power and my own strength. Which, again, I'm going to end up flat on my face. And I touched on this slightly, but to bring it up again, a God that changes us produces a Christ follower that is faithful in the confusion. That's taking the last thing, again, taking the last thing that God told you, despite what's going on around you, despite the winds blowing, despite the rain falling, despite the storm coming, the lightning striking, everybody saying, you are not doing what God told you to do. You are not obeying what God told you to say. I'm so offended. Oh, I can't handle this. I don't understand you. Every single bit of that that's coming at you, you are just stopping, and it is developing a Christ follower inside of you. It's like, okay, Lord, I know what you've told me. I know the people that you've surrounded me with that I've gone to for advice on these things. I can stay faithful to this. They don't have to like me. They don't have to love me. I do not, this is another important part of being a transformed follower of Christ instead of a managed follower of Christ, is that there are going to be tons of injustices done to you throughout your entire life. Somebody is going to wrong you in one way or another all throughout your walk, because none of the people that we're in relationship with are perfect. None of the people that we're walking with are perfect. None of the people that we're in ministry with are perfect. So there's going to be some sort of events, but when you allow God to transform you, you then get to walk faithfully through that and say, okay, Lord, it doesn't feel like you're doing right by me right now because of this stuff that's still coming, because of how badly this hurts, but I'm going to decide to give that part to you, say that I don't need that to be completely restored right now, as long as I'm being faithful to what you've told me to do and I keep walking that. I'm trusting you to redeem those things when you see fit. And I will be faithful to do what you've told me until the end, even if I never see it on this side. Even if I die and every single one of my friends say that I didn't follow God's voice, or every single person that ever heard me teach said, that's a false doctrine, that's false prophecy, this is nasty, get out of here, get out of our church. If I never even got to speak in another church, I'd be like, okay, Lord, I did what you told me to do. I trusted the influences that you put in place in my life for guidance and wisdom. And I waited and I listened on your voice so I can know that my reward is great. And even though it really hurts here, and it really hurts here sometimes, because I feel like it is not fair. The things that I am having to go through, the things that I am walking in, the things that you're saying that I have to lay down day after day after day after day after day after day, and nothing's changing. Okay, guess what? You just look a whole lot more like Christ. He is faithful. He is faithful to come through and redeem these things. And again, he will be that comforter during those times. But again, you just have to wait on him. You have to listen to him. Do what he's saying faithfully. And I promise you, he's going to take care of you, even if he's not taking care of you in the way that you think you need to be taken care of. Because guess what? You're not taking your perspective. You're changing and you're shifting to his. And that only happens through sanctification. And again, I've already talked about it in my ramblings, but this last point on what sort of a Christ follower does make, it's a willingness to let old things die, which include yourself. We die to our understanding of what is good, because again, back in the garden, when we ate from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that wasn't just planted and God said, don't eat that, because there had to be a rule for us to have free will. But he said, don't eat that because you're going to have a knowledge of something that you weren't supposed to, and you're going to make your own opinions about it. You're going to form your own thoughts about it that are not in line, and I did not create you to have those thoughts and opinions. So our understanding is constantly having to die every single day. The way that we heal, we have to die to our understanding of the way that we heal and pick up his, which brings wholeness. We have to die to our understanding of the prophetic, when it's to be released, is it even to be released at all, and pick up his and ask his opinion. And by the way, every single thing that I'm talking about right now requires one thing, and that's to be in relationship with Jesus. And I'm not talking about you talking in the prayer closet for 45 minutes. I'm talking you sitting and saying nothing and listening for his voice, so that he can give you that advice, so that intimate relationship is being built, so that as you continue to go, you're gaining not just the principle, but his understanding of that principle, and you will then be 10 times more effective. And again, I already talked about it, but giving up your sense of justice and trust that the suffering, the crosses that we're bearing, the hurt and the heartbreak will be redeemed, even if in the moment we don't see it coming ever, despite our faithfulness. Again, hope deferred is a huge crusher of followers of Christ. It is a huge crusher because, again, we keep expecting God to do these things soon. And when he doesn't do it in our version of soon, we fall apart. And again, this sort of believer, his life is built on a rock and not on sand. He's not going to fall over. He's going to be able to take the principles that God's given him while being in relationship with him and walk that out. And the plans that he's making are God-good plans because he's asking his opinion and his advice on these things. And again, those plans, unlike the ones that those other believers are making, the ones that depend and are allowing God to change their perspective, their plans are going to last, endure, and overcome the lawlessness and the immorality that is sweeping through this nation that we've let happen because, again, we wanted a God that would manage us and not a God that would change us so that we can come into partnership with him. So what are some practical ways that we can start countering this version of God that just wants to keep us the same and just make us feel okay about it and just preserve us through instead of being changed so that we can change outwardly the things around us? That's our family, that's our community, that's everybody around us. It's to know just a few things. Know that we have not made it, and the transformation does not stop. Our perspective is constantly shifting to look more like His. You are never going to be the it guy that has perfect understanding on God. Because if you ever reached that place, you would not need a relationship with Him because you would have all the answers. And you wouldn't have to constantly go back to the prayer closet and wait on His answer. We have to get comfortable with the discomfort of what it looks like when God's transforming us. A great example of that. I'm sitting over here, and we're trying this new thing in intercession where we're just sitting, and it's just a one-on-one conversation with God. We're praying, we're interceding on things that the Lord's putting on our heart, and if anybody has anything to say, then they can come up, they can grab the mic, and they can say those things and pray into that for about 3 minutes. And I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be so good. This is going to be so awesome. So many people are going to get up and have these words, and we're just going to be praying, and it's going to look awesome. And then I realized once it got really quiet, I got really, really uncomfortable because I felt like nothing was happening. And just in my mind, I'm saying, Lord, do I need to go ahead and go into worship? Do we need to kind of rush through this part? Do we need to stop and keep going? No. He just said, no. I'm doing what I'm doing. Even if you can't see it, I'm being faithful to the time that you set aside for people to focus on me. And guess what? You're practicing waiting on me. Nothing has to be happening. Nothing has to be being said in that moment. We don't have to have the worship team going on a prophetic rant for 20 minutes. I'm part of that team, so I can say that I've done that unintentionally before. And because, I mean, I was just getting so into it that I forgot to ask God, okay, do I need to stop yet? Because we're so used to this constant intake of information all the time that it's really hard for us to just sit still and wait on the Lord. And so I was feeling uncomfortable. But again, over the past 3 weeks, the Lord has said, get okay with that. That's what we want to do. In fact, it's probably been the past year and a half that I've been extremely uncomfortable. And it's going to remain that way until I'm probably done here on this earth. But that doesn't mean I don't have peace. I have more peace than I've ever had in my entire life while being the most uncomfortable I've been in my entire life. So get comfortable being with the discomfort of God transforming us. So we also need to stop, and I touched on this a second ago, but we need to stop and ask Holy Spirit for His advice before we move towards what we feel like we're being called to and throughout the entire thing. When God's given you your mission or what you feel like your purpose is on this earth, and you just run with it and you never ask Him about anything ever again, you're just asking for things, but you're not asking for His opinion or His advice, it's not going to go well. You're going to get burnt out, and you're not going to want to stay faithful to the thing that God's called you to. So it's important that while you're walking through that, you're always asking Him, okay, so Lord, I'm doing this thing that you're telling me to. I feel like I know what to do, but just to be safe, I'm checking in with you on everything. If it does not bring you back to relationship, you are out of God's will. If it's not bringing you back to conversation with God and getting quiet and listening for the response, you're not doing it with Him. And when you get to those gates, you may have delivered hundreds of people. You may have prophesied over thousands. You may have worshiped in front of millions of people. You may have taught 10,000 messages. And you're going to get in front of those gates, and He's going to be like, I mean, yeah, I see your record here, but we didn't do that together. Kick it. Because again, that's when we're following principle without the relationship. And the last thing, and this is really hard, but this ties into the get comfortable with the discomfort, is prioritize relying and trusting God and the people that He has put in your life for perspective. Sometimes the reason we're uncomfortable or the reason things don't feel good is because we didn't stop to ask our brother or our sister, hey, am I seeing this thing right? Am I looking at this correctly? Just to share one more story, and then I'll wrap it up. So a buddy of mine, a while ago, being sensitive, he died unexpectedly. It was not just a random accident. It was intentional from somebody else. Just trying to guard my words here. There are kids in the room. Nobody saw that coming, and he's one of the best dudes I've ever met in my life. I'm talking, he was, I won't say that he was living 110% for God. I can't judge that, but that dude would give you the clothes off his back. He let me bum it at his house for weeks on end when I was angry at mom and dad, when I was walking through my little rebellions. And again, he never asked for rent. He was my weed dealer, so he gave me my weed for free. Cool dude. But anyways, he's fantastic, and he really showed just God's love and compassion for others. And he was taken from me and from everybody that he influenced, all of his friends. Now, just quick correction, just because I said he was my weed dealer, that's the old me that died a few years ago. Just to clarify, promise I'm not going to go out to the parking lot and start lighting up a joint. But he had died, and I'm struggling with that, and I'm wrestling with it, just how unfair it was. I had so many thoughts about the person that had caused it to happen. None of them were great. Again, it was just this sense of righteous justice for somebody that I wasn't sure not had a relationship with God, dying before his time, and I was really angry. I was frustrated, but also there was a lot of righteous anger, and I felt like I was okay in that. Until I'm praying one day just about it, I was like, God, I just need you to take this pain from me. Please, I just need you to take the discomfort. I need you to take all of these raw emotions. I'm giving them to you right now. And the only thing he says is, it'd be crazy if you went to the jail and you talked to the guy and told him you forgive him. Wouldn't that be crazy? And I look at him, and I'm like, that's not God, that's the enemy. And I start running away in the opposite direction. I'm like, no, there's no way you're saying that. No. And again, I start this huge wrestle with the Lord over this thing. Because again, in my understanding of righteous judgment, he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve the opportunity or the chance that he took away from somebody else. And while I knew it in principle, once it's a part of your life, it's a harder thing to walk out. I am still wrestling with the decision to go see him and talk to him. Thankfully, my brother Max has been encouraging me recently on this. And he's keeping me up on it. And he's like, dude, Lord's gracious, but it's better to obey immediately than later. Yeah, and now all of you can hold me accountable to that. We can make it a Sunday tradition. Hey, Israel, did you go talk to that guy in jail yet? Cool. And so again, I had to lay down my perspective of the situation and allow other people to minister into me and help me understand that what I heard was not the enemy, it was God trying to work something way better out of a situation than I could have done on my own or if I'd have done what I thought. And also, to say that and the fact that I'm still working on that, it's a big thing to ask to start pushing against this culture of people that want to be kept comfortable as followers of Christ and just preserve themselves and don't care about anybody else, and to now walk in the opposite direction of what some of us have probably grown up in. You're not going to do it perfectly. You're not going to do it right 100% of the time or even 50% of the time. But there's such grace with God if your heart is to just simply take his perspective on things, that he's going to have so much mercy and grace for you as you're learning to do this. And you're not going to miss him. You're not going to miss out on the things that he has for you. You're not going to lose your calling over this thing. I mean, it may shift if you wait too long on a couple things that he's telling you about, but he's the Redeemer, and he's going to redeem it, and he's going to put you on another mission. And that is all I have for tonight. I hope it wasn't too harsh. And again, take everything that I've talked about. Please take it to Scripture, take it to this book, take it to Matthew, take it to Matthew 7, chapter 7, specifically for those that came in a little bit later before I started reading the Scripture. Weigh it, measure it, see if Holy Spirit's giving you any ticks about it or not, and just bless the rest of y'all this evening. I will be up here for a little bit since Dad isn't here to pray and talk like he's normally been doing after the service. So, Sean, if you are free to help with that for a few minutes, fantastic. And you guys have a blessed night.